Father, we thank you for revelation, insight, and understanding this morning. Thank you that you communicate spirit to spirit. Encourage us, teach us, have your way, that we may walk in the anointings that you have for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn to Philippians chapter 3. We've mentioned this in the last couple of times I've shared. I'm going to start here, Philippians 3 verse 12. It's the verse that says, Paul says, "Not as though I had attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus." In Philippians chapter 3 in the Passion Translation, that same verse, it says, "I admit I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing. I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover." Let me read that last phrase again. "I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover." All right? I'm going to launch from there, and we're still talking about intimacy. We'll be for the rest of the year, I'm pretty sure, okay? But what I'm calling it today is fulfilling our destiny, which is what this phrase here says, that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. So he's not made it secret. He's not hiding it. He wants you to know what your purpose is. He wants you to walk into it. He wants you to live in it. He wants you to enjoy the fullness of it. He has created you for that purpose. You have a destiny. It just comes to mind a song we used to sing, "I Have a Destiny." I don't know if any of you remember that one. "In that city on a hill, Zion, where you now live, you have a destiny. God has a purpose for you." And as I was meditating on this, I was asking the Lord, what is intimacy? And this answer came, it's the secret source to true fulfillment in life. I was like, that's pretty good, Lord. Intimacy is the secret source to true fulfillment in life. That's what everyone's looking for. That's the way we are created to live a fulfilling life. That's what every child's looking for. They want fulfillment, and every adult, whether it be through their job, through whatever, they're looking for the fulfillment that only God can give. And so the secret source is intimacy with God. That's what brings true fulfillment. It's what brings you true life. It's what satisfies everything in our lives. Why? Because in intimacy with God, you find joy, you find peace, you find rest, you find fulfillment, you find satisfaction, you find love, you find purpose. Everything that your heart desires is found in intimacy with God. That's the root of it. And so we're going to look today at how Paul addressed this in three or four different passages and what his prayer and his declaration for people was, that they could live in this intimacy. And the reason it fulfills you is because your intimacy with God, and that's your relationship, your friendship, your closeness, your hearing his voice, talking to him, your daily walk with him. The reason God wants that for you is because it produces him in you, right? It transforms you into his image. Now, we know we are one with him. He has already made that us. There is no separation. There is nothing that has divided us from God or can divide us. Romans 8 verses 38 and 39. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Trial, tribulation, sickness, accident, nothing. Principalities, powers, nothing can separate you from his love. So with that knowledge, the intimacy that comes is what God uses to create in you his image. There's a lot of Christians who don't live in the image of God, right? In fact, I would suggest the majority don't, because we haven't cultivated intimacy. We haven't spent time learning how to walk with and listen to and follow the leading of the Lord. We think there's all this stuff you've got to do, all these things you've got to go to this, do that, all the things that we or the church has taught, this is how you become a good Christian. Whereas God says, no, it's got nothing to do with that. It's about me and you. Let me work in you everything I want to do. So living in this intimacy, and this is a phrase I wrote down, living in this, in the real intimacy that God wants, that he has planned for you, that your heart's desire really is for. It's just we get distracted by the things of the world. But living in that secret source, it requires faith and a change of the way we think, a mindset change and it's done by faith. Faith to embrace God's plan, and faith to believe that he is transforming the way we think. First clause of the New Covenant, I will put my way of thinking in your mind and write it in your heart. So you have to believe that. You have to have faith to know that God is going to do it, and it comes through us learning how to receive his way of thinking, to be open to the revelation of the Spirit, and let that renew the way our brain has been trained. Many, many years ago, the Lord showed me a picture of, I was out of Romans 12:2, that says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the way the world thinks, the way our society has taught us, the way things operate in this natural world. He showed me the picture of a mountain range, and I saw the valleys and the ridges and everything, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, what caused that? And I was like, well, I'd studied a bit of geology and geography, and it was, you know, the rain running down on the mountain creates the valleys, and it washes and erodes, and you end up with these hills and valleys. And he showed me that's what your upbringing from a childhood has been like. The society you've been in, the education system you've been in, the teaching you've had, has trained you to think certain ways. It's like when the water comes down on that mountain range, it will flow down and get into those gullies and flow down the rivers. And what he said to me was, is that scripture that says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, says that's where you need me to wipe out and fill in all those gullies and let the word create new ways of thinking so that you think my way, not the way you've been educated in. So I said, do it, Lord. That's what he has promised to do. And again, it's learning to rest in him doing it, not us trying to figure out how to do it. Because we tend to think, okay, I need to get into the scriptures and memorize this and do all these things so that I can think God's way. No, thinking God's way comes by revelation of the Spirit. It's not, you can read as much word, you can memorize the whole scripture and still think man's way. It requires revelation of the Spirit inside us that says, that's not the way I think. I think way beyond that. As he said, my thoughts are higher than yours, which is, come up to my way of thinking. See things from my perspective. Let me educate you in how to address situations, how to speak to situations, how to create, how to control, how to govern the natural circumstances and the situations you live in. And so for us to fulfill his purpose, which is, well, fulfilling our destiny, he has a purpose for your life. You can get excited about that, okay? Because it's a good purpose. He wants you fulfilled. He wants you enjoying life. He wants you set free from the limitations that this world and that you've put on yourself, your family have put on you, your education's put on you. He wants you free from that. He wants you to be able to move wherever and whenever his Spirit moves you. And that, I believe, we're starting to see a glimpse of it, what our future is going to be like, what he has planned for us. And that's a lot more than just surviving till you pass from this life through the gateway of death. He wants us living long and satisfying life. Now, if that's 1,000 years, bring it on. Young, healthy, and strong. That's God's plan for us, okay? And so, with that in mind, that's another scripture that ties to this one, Philippians 3:12. We're going to go to Ephesians 3:17. And again, I'm going to read, most of what I'm going to read today is out of the Passion Translation. Ephesians 3:17, it's a scripture that says, then by constantly using your faith, remember I said that to live in what God wants for you, it requires a mindset change and by faith to live in what God's got. So here Paul says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. So to live a fulfilling life, the scripture here Paul tells us, you have to come to that resting place in the love of God. That becomes the root, the foundation, the source of the life that he has for you. Does that make sense? And you get it by faith. It's not something that just going to happen. And what is faith? Faith is where you see something that isn't yet, right? You see it. You believe it. That's faith. So you know, and I've shared with you many times, that what we see is we see Jesus' faith. What did Jesus do? How did he operate? How did he live? He lived in the power and the presence of God. And that one, I believe, is Philippians 2, verse 20, where it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave himself for me, and was raised for my sanctification. Okay? So, knowing his faith and what he's done for us, We take that and say, okay, if my destiny is what God has planned for me, Jesus has already by faith fulfilled that in me. So my faith looks at it and says, okay, Father, if that's the case, now I believe what the word says, that you're going to work in me your purpose. You're going to teach me how to think your way. I'm learning to rest in that completed work, right? It's not me trying to do it. It's me saying, thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, show me whenever I'm thinking wrong. Show me when limitations are placed there that shouldn't be there. Show me when I'm going down the wrong track. Reveal to me what the truth you want for me is. And so what I'm going to do is take us through a number of scripture passages and just let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to us from those passages. So let's go to to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 9 and go through to verse 20. And again, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Verse 9 says, since we first heard about you, this is Paul talking about hearing about the Colossian church and the Christians there, we have kept you always in our prayers that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives. All right, I'm going to stop there. So Paul's saying, I want you to have a perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your life. Now, what's God's pleasure? What do you think would please God the most about you when you fulfill his destiny for you, right? Which means becoming like Jesus. When you fulfill the destiny he has for you, that's what pleases him. So Paul is praying and declaring over the body that my prayer is that you fulfill the destiny God has for you. And he says here that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives. So he wants you to know Jesus, right? If you're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus, then you need to know Jesus so that you can be transformed into that image. You know what he's like. Well, the basis of it we just saw is love. He is the personification of love. That's what we become. He wants us living in love, rooted in love, grounded in love, doing everything from love. Love is what enables you to rest. What am I talking about there? Knowing that you are loved. Even when trials and tribulations come, you have to know you are loved. God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't turned his back on you. He's not wanting you to try and fix the problems. He wants you to lean on him and find out how you go about doing what you're supposed to do. Okay? So, I've prayed that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives. Remember Romans 12 verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may do what? Prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word prove means bring it to manifestation. Declare it, show it. That's God's plan. And so here Paul's saying, I want that to happen for you. I want you to know, have a internal, and this is a spirit knowledge. It's not a mindset knowledge. It's not a coming to figure out with your natural mind. It's receiving revelation from your spirit about what God's plan for us is, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live. And it starts with intimacy, living in his presence, knowing him every moment of the day, okay? That you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives, or God's purpose, God's desire, what God has destined you for, which takes you back to what we read in Philippians 3 there. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. But before that, he said, I haven't attained it yet, but I have a passion, and I choose that that's what I'm going to do. Making you, and then he goes on here, it says, pleasure over your lives, making you reservoirs of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, what's a reservoir? It's a storage place, isn't it? So what happens to what's stored in the reservoir? It gets taken out to minister, right? Think about it. Lake Waco here is a reservoir of water for the city. What do? They take the water out and they pump it to where the people need it. So this here says, you become a reservoir of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, what's the purpose of that? So that you can fulfill your destiny, so that you can govern the situations you're in, so that you can minister life to those around about you, that you have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge for every situation, that you're able to encourage and lift others up, okay? And spiritual understanding, that you know what is going on in the real world that is influencing the natural world. That's what Paul's praying, that you get that wisdom and revelation, that you are able to discern and deal with those forces that are controlling what's going on in this natural world. That means you get to change what's happening in this natural world. And we're starting to see that, starting to see God doing that through us, changing the way this world operates. Okay, verse 10. We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness. the way Paul is praying here, he is declaring, when he says, I pray for you, he says, I'm declaring over you that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness. Why would he say that? Because that's what's needed. Because in our natural selves, we wouldn't naturally walk in the ways of true righteousness, right? So what he's declaring is, I am declaring over you that the Spirit of God in you, and it comes through intimacy and by faith, that you start walking in the ways of true righteousness. That your spirit man knows whenever you're deviating slightly, no, that's not the way you should be going. Correct this, change that. Here's a little bit of thinking that's out of order. Don't say that. There's a big one. Say this instead. And don't, when your bucket gets bumped, don't let the bad out, right? Let the good come. Let God's word come out. We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness. You notice God, we'll get to that in a minute, what God says about you. Ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in everything you do. That was Paul's prayer, that you become a thrilling person to God. He's excited. Why? Because you're fulfilling his purpose. It's pleasing to him. Then you'll become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to his life and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in his fullness. Wow. So that was Paul's declaration over them, that when you live in true righteousness, pleasing God in everything you do, knowing his blessing upon your life, then you'll become fruit-bearing branches. What's fruit-bearing mean? What kind of fruit are we talking about? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? Fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit-bearing nature. And that fruit-bearing nature will produce change in the lives and the circumstances of those around you, of the life we live here in this natural world. We change it because of the life of God flowing through us. And we yield to his life. That's what it says there. Become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to his life. In other words, you're letting the life of God flow through us, not our natural behavior, but letting his Zoe life, that energetic life, let it flow through you to mature you in the rich experience of knowing God in his fullness. Now that alone boggles my mind, how I can know God in his fullness. When you think about God being all of creation is in God, and yet it says that here you get to know God in his fullness. Thank you, Father. Lord, we receive it, even though we don't understand it. We receive your way of thinking. We receive the fullness of your knowledge. Thank you, Father, that we can operate the way you desire us to operate. Verse 11, and we pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power. Ooh, who needs to sleep? Energized by the explosive power of God. That's what Paul's saying. This is your inheritance. This is your right. This is not something that, well, only certain Christians get it. No, this is part of the inheritance that God has given to us. We have the privilege of living in this. That we would be energized with his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, fulfilling you with great hope. Now, King James calls that patient endurance, with great hope. You know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He says, I know the plans I have for you. And then he says, I will reveal those to you. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard what God has, but he reveals them to us by his Spirit. So, as you're meditating and waiting on the Lord, he will give you revelation, insight about what he has planned for you, the things that you're going to get to do. He can't give it all to us now, because your little mind would be... We go, too big, Father. Okay, so he brings you in stage by stage. And we're starting to get revelations of what he has planned, what the future is going to be. All the things God has for us, whether it be ruling over galaxies, changing, sharing the good news of God's love. That's really the basis of it all, okay? But here Paul is praying that you would be energized with all his explosive power. How do you get that? Through intimacy, by faith. Knowing the Father, knowing by faith that he has covenanted to do this for you. His explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory filling you with great hope. Thank you, Father, I receive it. Receive that energized, explosive power, the dunamis of God, to change natural circumstances, to change spiritual circumstances, to bring to pass God's plan to fulfill your destiny. Verse 12, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. That's why you can get excited, right? That's what it says here. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about struggling by or suffering until Jesus comes again. No, that's religious teaching. It's about living in the joy of the Lord, manifesting His power, enjoying Him. Why? Because He has made you worthy. We took communion earlier. He's made us worthy because we have eaten and drunk of the body and the blood of Jesus. Because we are in Him, He has made us worthy. That's why we can give thanks and glory to Him, because we have received the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. The glorious inheritance. What did Jesus purchase when He raised? What was He given when He was raised from the dead? All authority, all dominion, all power, a name that is above every name. Everything is subject to Him. The whole of creation is summed up in Him. He is the one that is reconciling it all to the Father. That's His inheritance, and you are a joint heir with Him. I was meditating on that during the week, and you think about, wow, all that Jesus is, and I'm a co-heir, co-creator, co-partaker with Him in it. Father, what's my role in that? How do I fulfill that? Because there's 8 billion people on the earth at the moment, plus a few billion that have already gone on. Okay, how does all that fit together? And I got a picture of a family. You think about it this way. Family starts a business. Dad's the head, a bunch of sons. Each son gets given a different role in the business. One runs the finances, runs the production center, one runs the distribution center, one does the manufacturing, one does... Each part has a part to play in the family, but it's all a family business. Does that make sense? And so when God's saying, here, you are a joint heir in His inheritance, everything that Jesus has is ours. And what He is showing us is fulfilling your destiny is fulfilling your part in the family business, whatever that is. Creating new worlds, changing the natural circumstances, controlling the weather, stopping the devil destroying our society, stopping sickness and disease, bringing healing to people. Whatever His destiny on you is, and I shared a few weeks back, inside here, there is a bent, a thing that you are drawn to. As you wait on the Lord, you'll find out what that is. And that drawing, that calling that He puts in here, that's where you start focusing, meditating, and saying, okay, Father, work that out in me. Teach me the mechanics of how to do that. How do I control and govern those situations? How do I bring healing? How do I bring life? How do I win people to Jesus? Whatever your calling is, how do I do that? And let Him lead you into it, right? He said He will. He's going to fulfill His calling in your life. Let Him do it. All right, where do we get to? Your heart can soar with joyful gratitude when you think how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. You can meditate just on that, right? The glorious inheritance you have, you get it by living in the light. And what is the light? The light is the revelation of God's love, the revelation of His purposes. Not what we want to do, not what we think should be done. We have to live in His light, because the natural man comes from darkness, comes from self, comes from our purposes. Then Paul goes on and says, the good news is He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. Thank you, Jesus. You have been rescued completely from that and has translated us into the kingdom realm of His beloved Son. Most of you probably know that verse from, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, right? Well, here it says, He has completely rescued you completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness, the fear, death, lack, failure, all of that that comes from the world of darkness. You have been rescued from the tyranny of it, which is the control, the fear, the worry, the concern, the how am I going to get through this? You've been rescued from that and placed into the kingdom of His Son, which is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love, the kingdom that swallows you up in the goodness of God. That's where you now live, delivered from that other realm. You live in the kingdom realm. For in the Son, all our sins are cancelled, and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. Redeemed to the Father. Made one with Him. Sin has been eradicated. Now we get to verse 15. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God. Now Paul's talking about Jesus. And this is what you are being transformed into, this image. Okay? He is the divine portrait of the true likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn heir of all creation. For in him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority, it all exists through him and for his purpose. Talking about Jesus. Now the interesting part is, you are in Jesus. So this is part of the image you are. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority, all exists through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. Jesus. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. That means in his head and in the body, in all of us. He's satisfied to have that fullness in all of us. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. That's God's purpose for you. And it's God's power that does it, to restore everything in Jesus. Okay, go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at another time Paul expounds on this whole principle of fulfilling our purpose in God and what he declares over the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul starts out, "So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah," verse 15, "the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth." Now, I love the way it says there, "the perfect Father." And I wrote down here, the perfect Father does everything possible to bless the child, right? And you can look at natural father and say, yep, it was a good father, bad father, every child needs a father. Well, what came to mind as I was going through the scripture, it says the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. It reminded me where Jesus made a very particular statement about the Father. And I got the verse here, Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read it to you. You'll recognize it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. This is where Jesus is talking about parenting. He says, "If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who seek him?" Using the illustration of a natural father, says, if you, imperfect as you are, now the King James puts this in an interesting way. King James says it this way. Let me read it to you. Matthew 7, verse 11. "If you then, being evil," that's how the translators put it in there, "being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Now I looked up that word evil. Do you know what it means in the Greek? Full of labor. Isn't that interesting? The Passion says, if you, imperfect as you are, what does imperfection mean? Trying to do it myself. Full of labor, full of self-effort. That's what God calls imperfect. But he has declared you perfect. Believe it by faith. Thank you, Father. I don't do things based on my own self-effort. I do it because you lead me to do it. And it says here, if then you being evil or full of labor know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who is the perfect Father, as we read here in Ephesians 3, the perfect Father of every father and child, every father and child in heaven and in earth, that God, that perfect Father, how much more shall he give you the good things? He's not going to give you bad stuff. He's only got good for you. And he wants you to fulfill his purpose for you by walking in the good that he supplies. Verse 16, back to Ephesians 3. "And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor." Now, Paul knew and understood that we need that revelation in our spirit. Okay, he's the perfect Father that's given us every good thing that pertains to life and godliness. It's already supplied. God's not withholding it. He's not up there sitting, well, till you behave right and do all the right things, I'm not going to give it. No, he's already given it. He says, I have given you it all. And what Paul is praying here is, I'm declaring over you that he would unveil within you, that he would give you revelation of what those riches are. The unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Ooh. That's what he wants the revelation for. He says he wants that revealed to you, the limited riches of his glory and favor, so that supernatural strength would flood your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power, that you get to operate the same way Jesus does. That's God's purpose. Verse 17, then by constantly using your faith, this is the verse I started out with. Paul is saying here, I want you to know, I want you to have a revelation unveiled in your heart, the riches that God has, that his explosive power, his divine ability that is in you would be manifest, that it would come to fruition, that it would be part of your life. Why? By constantly using your faith, because if you don't see that divine power happening now, it doesn't mean it's not. You have to put your faith to it and say, thank you, Jesus, your divine power is operating through me. It is healing this physical body. It is renewing my youth. It is giving me the ability to understand and wisdom and insight into circumstances so that I can declare your word over them. Change the natural to reflect the supernatural. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Again, coming back to knowing how much you're loved. Everything in heaven, everything in our life operates by God's love, not by our own self-performance or our own abilities or our education or our skill set. It operates by God's love. That's the root of it. Okay, verse 18. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. Right? So when you're rooted in love, when you by faith receive God's divine power, knowing that it's operating through you, his ability in you, you know that scripture says it's God who is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Every good thing he wants you to have, it's God that has to do it. Anything else short circuits his ability to bless you. We don't want to do that. We want to operate his way, right? And he goes, well, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. The great magnitude of Jesus' love in all its dimensions. That becomes manifest in us. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. Talking about intimacy. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love for everything. Not just for you, not just for me, but for all of creation. His love. And he wants it all reconciled and restored and blessed the way God wants it done. How enduring and inclusive it is. Love never fails. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. He's already released it all. By faith we receive it. Thank you, Father, that I am filled to overflowing. This is a good prayer. Filled to overflowing with your love. The fullness of your presence manifests in me every day. Right, verse 20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. That's what faith is. Never doubt that God's mighty power is at work in you to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Ooh-wee! Do you have a big request? Is there something you really want? Life and life abundantly, youth renewed, health in your body, family restored, whatever it is. And that's just basic in this natural world, right? What about all the other stuff he's got for us? His divine provision, okay? Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Notice the term infinitely. That means there's no end to what he wants done. There's no end to what he has for you and me to do. Oh, we're so limited in our thinking. You know, I just listed off a few things we want. That's kind of limited, really. God wants a whole lot more than that, way beyond what we can ask or think. Achieve intimately more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Your most unbelievable dream, your exceeding wildest and exceed your wildest imagination. Go home and just meditate on those three statements. Think about what God has for you, what his love has for you, what he wants done for you. Think about what your wildest imagination would be, what your greatest, most unbelievable dream. There's no way I could ever do that. It's probably something he's put in your heart that he wants you to do. And he can do far beyond that. You are an unlimited being. Thank you, Jesus. And what he says here, he will achieve. He will achieve. He's covenanted to do it. What stops it? Me. Us. Our thinking. Our lack of faith, our doubt, our limitations, what the world has put on us, what we've experienced in the past, how we've figured out to try and solve our problems, fix our bodies, do whatever, what we have come up with, that limits God's ability to do what he wants done, because he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. And at the moment, our requests are probably fairly limited to what we can naturally conceive. Start asking the Lord. That's a good prayer. Father, show me what your requests are for my life, what your desires are for my life, what your plans are. Reveal that to me. What the most unbelievable dream I could have is. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Jesus. Your wildest imagination. Then he carries on. Even more so, he says, he will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Paul had a revelation of what a Christian life is supposed to be like, where you're living in the anointing of God and the power of God, not subject to this natural world, but living far above it. His power that energizes you, the ultimate unbelievable that he will do in you. A couple more scriptures. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I quoted it earlier. I'm going to read it from the Passion's translation. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. In the King James, it said it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the Passion, they say God will continually revitalize you, in other words, re-energize you every morning, renew your youth, restore your vigor. It says God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Thank you, Father. I receive passion in Jesus' name, right? I receive that passion in Jesus' name. Passion to fulfill what you want done, that what pleases you, to fulfill your purpose, that I can fulfill the destiny that you have for me. And we each have a destiny, different roles, different responsibilities in the family that we get to minister in. Luke 12, verse 32. Just remember this verse. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. And then Luke 12, verse 32 says, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, 32, what's the kingdom? That kingdom of light that Paul just prayed. That you live in the kingdom of light, in the realm of God's blessing. In the Passion Translation, Luke 12, verse 32 says, so, don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom realm with all its promises. Wow. Don't ever be afraid, dear friends. Your loving Heavenly Father joyously gives you his kingdom realm in all its promises. That's his plan, his purpose, his desire. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So God wants you to have, joyously gives you his kingdom, his pleasure, his delight, his desires. Ephesians 1 verse 3. I'm probably not going to say much here. I'm just going to read it and let it speak for itself because there's a lot of revelation in this alone. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a loved gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. That's why we worship him, why we sing to him, why we enjoy him. It says every spiritual blessing, which means the natural blessings come too because the spiritual controls the natural. So every blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon you as a love gift. That's how much he loves you from our wonderful heavenly Father. Why? Because we are in Jesus. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Even before the foundation of time or the creation of time, even before he created anything, he purposed in himself for us to be his very own, joining us to him. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he's done for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For it was always his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. The unfolding plan of his love manifest in us, poured upon us, that unfolding plan brings him great pleasure to see the reconciliation, the restoration of all things. Since we are now joined to Christ, this is verse 7, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sin, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Receive it by faith. Thank you, Jesus, I have it. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. What is his long-range plan? That we would be conformed to the image of Jesus, made just like him, made in his image. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. That's his plan, and you are part of it. We are part of it. He wants us to fulfill our destiny. His purpose is for us to be what he designed us to be. He's made it possible through what Jesus did, but he gave us free choice. He says you can walk in it, or you can do your own thing. I choose to walk in it. I choose to receive what God wants, not what I want, that I can fulfill his purpose and his destiny. And I believe you do as well. We all do. We want to see his power, his glory, his amazingness manifest through us. It's beyond anything we could ask or think, but it's what he wants done. Father, we thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. It's just beyond what we can comprehend how great your love is, and that you have released that to us, that you've already provided everything for us. And so we choose to rest in your completed work, to give up trying to do it and earn it and figure it out ourselves. But we thank you that you reveal it by your Spirit. And we choose to listen and obey, to walk in your ways, to do what you want done, to see Jesus manifest in us, and that your purposes in this earth and throughout all of the universe would be manifest because we are willing to follow you. We give you thanks for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, be encouraged. Have a wonderful week. Know that God is working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to manifest through you this week his anointing. Amen.